Time now for the weekly book review program with Mawlana Ashraf Dokrat. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, very, very well.
Alhamdulillah. Some serious reading this morning, Mawlana. We're looking at Evil After Evil, A Politics of Human Rights.
Yes, Mawlana, you're right. It's a bit of a serious book, and it looks at the question of human rights. And vis-a-vis the contemporary global politics. And the author constructs something that he calls human rights discourse, with a capital H, capital R, capital D, and uses this concept throughout this book, and defines this concept as a new way of looking at global power that looks beyond just the cruelties that are perpetrated by revolutionaries and counter-revolutionaries during the last two centuries. And he argues that there is a false divide that we make between periods where there was evil and there was gross violation of human rights, and gross violation of human rights were committed either by states or by nations at a certain point, and the post-conflict period, where we assume now that there is justice and parties are assumed to have moved beyond the evil through some sort of mechanism for transitional justice. And the argument that the author makes is that in the current discussion on human rights and the current human rights paradigm that we have, the beneficiaries of the oppression are never implicated. Because the beneficiaries of the oppression are not implicated in any way, genuine justice or genuine human rights in response to the oppressive political, economic and social system is not achieved. So he says that as long as the inequalities exist, the structural inequalities exist, and injustice remain in place, evil still exists, and thus the title of the book. Real justice and human rights are always out of reach, he questions the validity of the rigid demarcation between a period of evil and a period of justice. He says that only if we accept a very minimal definition of justice, then can we say that the unjust political and social and economic systems that we have can be acceptable, because the beneficiaries of this system still continue to enjoy privilege. For example, on page 16, he says, here we reach the crux of the 21st century conception of human rights, namely, that there is nothing worse than cruelty, and that cruelty towards the physical bodies is the worst of all. So he says he's very critical to a type of a politics of human rights that prioritizes only the protection of violence against the body at the expense of economic, social, and economic violence, economic redistribution, and those type of rights. He makes the point that in fact, in a type of a system that we have currently, in the transitional justice system, we find firstly there are perpetrators. They are the people who physically torment their victims, some sort of punishment is meted out to them through transitional justice mechanisms. Then we have the victims. These are those who have suffered the physical torment under the previous regime. For example, in South Africa is a case of that. And they gain a type of a moral victory only. But the perpetrators continue to enjoy economic and social freedoms and privilege that the victims do not enjoy. And then you have the beneficiaries of this oppressive political, social and economic system, enjoy the economic and social privileges that were unjustly won, really. And he cites examples of this. I mean, if you take the current type of situation that happened in South Africa, where we had the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC. This was a mechanism that provided a moral victory to the victims and a sense of closure to the perpetrators, the beneficiaries. But it left the unjust and the inequitable economic and social system completely intact as it was. So he says this type of demarcation between a period of evil and a period of justice is actually a false demarcation that we are trying to make. And we see this type of demarcation in all the discourse that takes place about South Africa and this type of demarcation doesn't serve the needs of the poor, doesn't serve the needs of the actual victims of apartheid in our case, and of similar injustices in other places of the world. So he says that there's this contradiction in the prevailing paradigm of human rights, and he brings this to the fore. He challenges the international community. He says that when the international community through their military action perpetrate collateral damage, then this is considered as something that is evil, something that is wrong. But when militarist movements in ordinary localities violate human rights, when the innocent victims are civilians, if these movements are trying to serve the cause of human rights and justice, then we treat them in the same way. He said this shouldn't be the case. So in a sense, he's asking readers to consider at which point violence can be used for human rights ends, and whether this can be legitimate or not. He's I think sympathetic to the use of violence to advance a radical vision of economic equality and social justice. He says on page, I think it's here, page 69, that do my misgivings about justice as reconciliation make me nostalgic for the revolutionary project of the 20th century? And then he says yes. He believes that we need to oppose politically and ethically the ways in which human rights discourse protects the beneficiaries of past injustice, and he in some way makes the call for a more radical type of approach to achieving economic and political justice for people. He says the liberal human rights paradigm, which prioritizes only human rights in terms of the suffering of the body, and doesn't look at what is at stake as far as suffering in terms of economic rights, that is a misplaced type of human rights discourse. So he makes some very, very interesting points. He uses a range of arguments to support his ideas, coming from truth commissions. He sees truth commissions as social melodrama, really. He looks at how religious and literary mediations can also play their part, how they create a sense of sorrow and a sense of disgrace. He uses a range of topics to make some very impressive arguments and a very good critique on the way in which human rights is dealt with and mainstream human rights is dealt with today. So I think it's all in all a very interesting book for people interested in the whole topic of human rights. It makes for interesting reading. The arguments are well developed. Mm-hmm.
And in your opinion, Murana, has he achieved the objective of what he has set out to write, Murana?
Yes, I think very much so. He makes some very, very valid points about the fact that, I mean, if you take our own case regarding the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that we had here in South Africa, I think he makes a very, very good point about the weaknesses of that whole process and the fact that we are still, there the commission, what it set out to do, has not really achieved its objectives, in the sense that the privilege is still enjoyed by those who were actual perpetrators of the crimes of apartheid. So it makes some very, very important points. Mm-hmm.
What's the length of the book, Manana?
Manana, it's not a short book. It's taken me some time to come to this review. It's all of 526 pages.
Wow.
The title again, After Evil, A Politics of Human Rights. It's published by Columbia University Press, and available from Exclusive Books and online. And I think now with our the dollar exchange, Molana rate, it costs a lot online. Mm-hmm. This book cost me 196
rands more. Ajay, you should have just gone to Nelson Mandela Square. They were a 75% sale, huh?
Yes, but the thing is about the sales, they bring in books specifically for the sale. So the books that they have on the shelves are the books that they normally sell, and then they bring in other books which we mark down on sale. Well, it's not only the books you wanted on sale.
Yeah, it's a closing down sale anyways. Jazakumullah for your time, Mulana. Much appreciated.
A pleasure, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.